I have a question up here. What happened to Jesus? To make it more specific, what happened to Jesus between Friday and Sunday? You want to explore that. It's a teaching that's not often talked about. We normally talk about what happened on planet Earth, above ground, with the disciples when Jesus was taken and put in the tomb. And so, but there's a narrative in Scripture that talks about, unfolds it. We'll look at tons of Scripture tonight to look at what happened to Jesus between. And this is the way I like to call this teaching, between what happened from the cross to the throne. What happened from the cross to the throne? You guys interested?
Yeah.
Okay, second question. How many people went to heaven before the cross? How many people could go to heaven, directly to heaven upon death, before the cross of Jesus Christ?
Nobody.
Nobody could. But where did the people of God of old, when they died, where did they go?
Paradise.
Went to paradise. Very good. Okay, in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about a place where the righteous and the wicked both went. It was called Sheol. Sheol, the grave. The grave, also known as the place of the departed dead. It was the righteous and the wicked that went to this place called Sheol, often translated the grave. Peter, on his sermon on the day of Pentecost, he talks about, you know, he quotes the psalmist saying, "You will not leave my soul in the grave," talking this a messianic Psalm, Jesus referring to his Father, you will not leave my soul in the grave, in this place of the departed dead. All right? And then Jesus came along and shed more light on this when he talked about, and if you'd like to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 16, please, when he talked about the rich man and Lazarus. Now, let me say here, that is not a parable. I don't know where along the way we decided it was a parable, because Jesus does not begin with a parable. And Luke specifically, any time that Luke mentions the parables of Jesus, he introduces them by saying something like this: Jesus taught a parable for this purpose. But in this account, the rich man and Lazarus, he does not introduce it that, so it's not a parable. It's not the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. In fact, he begins by saying, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, in verse 19. So when he says there was a certain man, wasn't he talking about someone specifically that actually lived? There was a certain man, right? This is not a parable. This is not a made-up story to give some sort of lesson. So verse 19, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, or lived in luxury. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Isn't that kind of a stark contrast between the rich man sumptuously feasting and the poor man, Lazarus? This is not Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. Okay, this is a different Lazarus that was a beggar. And so, verse 22, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to where? Abraham's side, or if you have a King James Version, New King James Version, Abraham's what? Bosom. Thank you. That's the way I was taught it as a young, when I learned this, I was only 16 years old, to be quite honest with you. Abraham's bosom. All right? And so he went there. So can we be clear that Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom? Okay. Now, and it says here, in the rich man also died and was buried, And being in the torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So could we say that they're somewhat close in proximity? The rich man looked upon Abraham. He could see Abraham and he could see Lazarus, the poor man. Let me get something clear and off the department of question. And that is that Lazarus did not go to the good side of this place called Sheol based on the fact that he was poor. And the rich man, his riches didn't make him wicked. Riches do not make a person wicked. Right? It is the love of money that is what? The root of all evil. It's the love of money. It's not money. Right? Now, if you guys won the lottery, won $6 million, would you just say, well, you know, I don't want to be a wicked person. I'm just going to give it away. I'd be first in line. Yeah. Alms for the poor. No, I'm not poor. Okay, so that needs to be discussed. So these guys are in, listen, what we're going to call hell. Sheol in the Old Testament is the equivalent of hell in the Gospels. All right? There is a place where the wicked go, and there is a place or where the wicked went and where the righteous went. Okay? Next verse. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Remember, son, that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus received evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. Notice verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great what? Chasm? Gulf? Fixed? Right? So that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. So we discover that Sheol is one place with two different compartments and a chasm that separates the two. Right? Can those on Lazarus' side and Abraham's side cross to those on... They can't cross. There is a fixed gulf. The judgment has been cast. All right? Now, let's move on. Let's kind of finish this little portion of Scripture off. Verse 27. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What are Moses and the prophets? They have the word of God. You know, a lot of people say, well, I will not believe in God unless I see this miracle. If you don't believe the word of God, you're not going to believe in the miracle. Listen to what Jesus said. You already have the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right? Okay, so he says, verse 30, and he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they did not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, the one rise from the dead. Okay, notice a couple things, a couple of details about this. Could the rich man feel physical torment in his body? So let me ask you a question. Is there physical torment in hell? Yes. Why do I bring that up? Because there is a growing movement. There is a groundswell among a younger generation that has not been taught theologically correctly, and they believe that hell is just ceasing to exist. Listen, I'll tell you, I can only speak for myself. If somebody, when they came to me with the gospel and they said, well, Joe, you know, you won't go to hell, but hell for you will be ceasing to exist, I would have said, I don't care. I'm going to keep going, doing the sinful lifestyle that I'm leading. That was not a threat or a deterrent for me to consider Jesus.
In other words, they're being taught there is no punishment.
That's right. And they're teaching there is no punishment. That's what I say. That's why I bring that up. There is physical torment. Listen, if you're taking notes, jot down Revelation chapter 14, verse 11. In fact, would a quick turner please just look it up and read it, please. So I quote a lot of scripture, but I want it to be quoted tonight. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11. Okay, notice, that's pretty plain, isn't it? The smoke of their torment ascends for how long? For how long will they be tormented? Forever and ever. And they will be tormented, right? They're still alive. They didn't cease to exist. Okay, case closed. Right. No, let me answer this way. Somebody's hell will not ruin your heaven. Fair enough? Heaven's going to be heaven. No, you're right. We won't, I think our consciousness will be clear. We will, the Bible says everything will be new to us. It'll be new. And we'll have a new consciousness. That's the only way I know how to explain it in heaven. Is that pretty clear to all of us that this, whoever this young generation is, where they're getting this from, they are wrong. And I'm telling you, that's a very damnable heresy that'll send people straight to hell. Alrighty, so why do we talk about this? Because this is the place that all the righteous and that all the wicked went to before Jesus died on the cross. Okay? So far, so good. This is the place that Jesus went to after he uttered the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then into your hands, I commend my what? Spirit. And he died. He gave up the ghost. And go with me to first. No, since we're in the Gospels, go with me to. Go with me to 1 Peter 3. I'm trying to get this order right. 1 Peter chapter 3, please. So far, so good, everybody? Informative? Isn't the Word of God good? Okay, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for his sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Notice carefully, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Stop there. During the Easter story, don't we normally discuss, you know, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus going to King Herod to take down the body, or was it Pontius Pilate to take down the body of Christ and bury it in a tomb, right? And that's all we know about it, but that's just talking about his body. Though Jesus' body died, he was made alive in the Spirit. Let's read the next verse, verse 19, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Who are these spirits in prison? That's right, everybody that's in Sheol. Why would they need to be preached to? They never heard. But they lived righteously before God under the old covenant. Right? So Jesus himself tells him about himself. He tells all the bunch, the good bunch. Now, notice carefully. And have y'all wondered why Jesus didn't raise John the Baptist from the dead? Because even as John the Baptist was a forerunner to the first coming of Christ, he was also a forerunner to Christ in Sheol. He went to Sheol ahead of Jesus to proclaim the Savior's coming here, and he's going to tell you about himself. Ooh, I get chills on that one. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Right? There's a rhyme and a reason to God's plan. So John went before Jesus to this place called Sheol. He preached to them to prepare their hearts. So you can just imagine when Jesus appeared, there's Jeremiah, there's Lazarus, there's Abraham, there's David, King David, there's all of these people that served God faithfully under the old covenant. And Jesus preached to them. But that's not the only bunch Jesus preached to. Notice verse 20 of 1 Peter 3. He preached to spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through fire. So he preached to the disobedient spirits, the unbelievers too, right? Of a witness. Now listen carefully. Sometimes our concept of witnessing is to just tell about Jesus, but there's also evidence in the scripture that Jesus serves as a witness against people that rejected him. Not just a witness for or a witness to, but a witness against. Everybody's quiet. Are you thinking with me? Am I right, Scott? Leaves a witness against them. All right? So far, so good, everybody? It does. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay. So now, let's put a nice little tidy bow on this. So let's talk about then, hell is not the lake of fire. Hell is a holding place for those, as Scott mentioned, people when they die before the great white throne judgment, they all go to hell. Hell is like a jail. The lake of fire is like prison without parole. Hell will, the Bible says in Revelation, I believe it's 22, hell will give up its dead, and then they will stand before the great white throne judgment to be judged, and then they'll be sentenced for forever, eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Don't confuse the two. The lake of fire is not hell, and hell is not the lake of fire. Interesting, huh? Isn't the word good? I love Miss Karen. You're just like, give me more. Pac-Man. Okay? So that's what happens there. Now, let's talk. Jesus went to this place to preach to spirits in prison. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 12. In fact, who would like to read Matthew chapter 12, verse 40?
For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.
Okay. Notice, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So it begs the question, where is this place called hell? Well, that answers the question, where is hell? In the heart of the earth. Okay, so let's talk about that. So let's talk about 3 days and 3 nights, all right? Understand that the word day for a Jew was used as an idiom. It's not a literal 24-hour period. Not a literal 24-hour period to the Jew. To us, it is. And it's funny that you bring that. I mean, I'm glad you did. Cynthia brought that up to me, and she's like, wait, that wasn't 3 days. 3 days is 72 hours. I said, that's to our understanding in the Western world mindset, but in the Middle Eastern world mindset to a Jew, that's not what a day constituted. In fact, who would like to read John chapter 11, verse 9, out of the King James Version or the New King James Version.
Jesus answered,
are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. Okay. Moving right along. So Jesus was in the belly of the earth for how long? 3 days. Ephesians chapter 4. Who would like to read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9?
Where it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions?
Okay, stop there. In 1 Peter 3, 18 or 19, it says that Jesus preached to whom?
Spirits in prison.
Along with that motif, when Jesus ascended into heaven, notice, who did he take with him? When he ascended on high, he led what? Captivity captive. He took all the righteous with him that had been in Sheol, in Abraham's bosom, in also known as paradise, right? And then he took them to heaven with him. But notice what it says in verse 9. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? The belly of the earth, right? Okay, are we good so far? Okay, so he ascended. He took all the good people with him. Now, could it be that there, you know, there's that one proverb that says that hell hath enlarged itself. Could it be that when Jesus emptied out hell of the righteous that he had preached to, who accepted Christ in hell, in Sheol, the good people did, and then he took them to heaven with him, could it be that that's when hell had enlarged itself, as the book of Proverbs says?
Possible.
It had a lot more space, right? Less occupied, more vacancy. All right, so far, so some of you guys are looking at me like a dog with a new dog dish. Like, are you tracking? Is it a lot? Well, paradise is the good part of Sheol. But there's also the hell part, which is the bad part. Remember, there are two compartments, one place. And then there's a chasm that divides both compartments. Okay, let's say this is Sheol right here, this is hell, and this is paradise. This is a chasm. Sorry, guys. We need Jesus to come preach to you heathens. Right? Very simple. Okay, notice. Go with me to Psalm 24. Told you we were going to look at a lot of scripture. Psalm 24. This is Jesus' re-entry into heaven. And the Bible does talk about it. It's beautiful. So can you imagine Jesus is going into heaven? Well, this gives me chills just thinking about it. And he's about to enter the portals of heaven with all this train of righteous people under the old covenant. Notice, verse 7, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift them up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Wow. Can you imagine all the angels of heaven bowing down to worship Jesus as he re-enters heaven? He's no longer the suffering servant. He is now the resurrected living Christ. He is truly the King of glory. Whew, I'm feeling this tonight. Mercy. Right? He is the King of glory. All of heaven's knees will bow down. Okay? All right, so Jesus goes to heaven. Now, what is there for him to do? When was the New Testament, the New Covenant, ratified? Remember, we're looking at from the cross to the throne. Very good. It's all about the blood. So, was the New Covenant in effect? Now, think carefully. because Pastor Wayne just gave the answer. Thank you. He's right. But was the new covenant put into effect? That's what the word ratified means. When Jesus said it is finished, when the temple curtain tore from top to bottom, when he preached to the righteous spirits in prison, when he re-entered heaven, what's that? Well, when he arose, but there's still, there was no blood to present yet after he arose. Remember, Jesus said, when there was, I want to say, was it Mary in the garden that saw him? She didn't recognize him at first. And Jesus told her, because she clung to him, she said, don't cling to me because I must return. I must go to be with the Father. Well, what was the first order of business when Jesus re-entered? The book of Hebrews says he presented his blood to the Father as an everlasting testimony of salvation, and the Father accepted it. When the Father accepted that sacrifice of Jesus' blood, that's when the new covenant was ratified. Bam! Whosoever will can call upon the name of the Lord and they shall be saved. Right? From the cross to the throne.
Isaiah said that God would be satisfied.
Yes. Isaiah 53 says that. He would be satisfied.
That just gives you cold chills right there.
That does. Was he ever satisfied with any of the previous sacrifices? Bulls, goats? Isn't that what the book of Hebrews kind of plumbs into, jumps into in detail? For had the blood of bulls, heifers, and goats made the worshipper's conscience clean, then there would not have been a need for Christ to have come, right? That's right. His priesthood put an end to all the other priesthoods. He is the high priest. He is the Lamb. And then when that sacrifice was accepted, then he sat down at the right hand of God. Right? Do you see the... Is this an interesting Bible study? During Holy Week? It's neat, huh? What happened from the cross to the throne? How many of us know that there is no time frame in the spirit world? God can do something in the spirit world in a nanosecond that for us in real life would take 100 days. Or God can do something so quick or so long and drawn out, but in our real world time, it could be a nanosecond. Okay, so let's go to Matthew chapter 27. I forgot this. Who would like to read verses 1, or rather 51 and 52? There you go. Weren't these the people that had formerly, what were they formerly before they were raised to life? They were dead, but what place were they dead in? In paradise. Right? Abraham's bosom. Notice. And then, look, they were raised from the dead, but then, and their graves were opened, but verse 53, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. What would you guys do if, and you know, in the spirit world, you would recognize someone that you've never met before, right? Because what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? Had Peter, James, and John ever seen Moses or Elijah before?
No, but they recognized
them. But they recognized them. So can you imagine being Jewish people walking through the streets of Jerusalem and here comes King David? Whoa!
Yeah.
And they recognize him? Isn't that powerful? But those guys didn't stay in Jerusalem. When Jesus ascended, he took them with him. That's right, 40 days later. Exactly. Okay, who learned something new tonight? How many of y'all are glad you came to church? How many of y'all know the word is always good? All right.